Picture this. You're established on downwind, 1,000 feet above the ground, wind calm, perfect afternoon. You've done 40 hours in this airplane. You know this pattern. You feel good, and then your instructor or your examiner pulls the throttle to idle and says nothing, just waits. That silence is the power off 180, and how you respond in the next 60 seconds will tell you, and the examiner, a lot about where you actually are as a pilot. I'm Pattern on Radio Hangar, and today on Traffic Pattern, we're going deep on one of the most underestimated maneuvers in the private pilot curriculum, the power off 180 accuracy approach, what the airman certification standards say, what most students get wrong, and how to build the kind of judgment this maneuver actually requires before checkride day. Before we get into it, quick word about aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every milestone in the journey. First solo, private certificate, instrument, commercial. There's a coin for each one. It's a tangible way to honor the work you put in. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's get into it. The airman certification standards for the private pilot certificate require that you complete a power off 180 with the engine at idle, simulating an engine failure, and touchdown at or beyond a specified point on the runway with no more than 200 feet of overshoot. No power additions after you pull the throttle abeam the numbers. No drifting sideways at touchdown. And the approach has to be stable and controlled the whole way down 200 feet. That's about 11 airplane lengths for a Cessna 172. It sounds generous until you realize how hard it is to hit that window consistently when you've never really thought about energy management. And that's the heart of this maneuver, energy management. Think of it this way. You have a fixed amount of energy the moment that throttle comes back. Some of it is altitude, potential energy. Some of it is airspeed. Your job from that point forward is to spend that energy in exactly the right way. Arrive over the threshold with just enough to make the runway. Not so much that you float 200 feet past your target. Too much energy. You overshoot. Too little energy. You undershoot. And here's the catch that catches students. If you undershoot, you cannot add power. That's the whole point of the maneuver. The engine is out. A dead stick approach is not the time to discover that you misjudged your downwind position. So where do most students go wrong? Let me walk through the big ones. The first mistake is being in the wrong position when the power comes off. A lot of students fly their downwind leg too wide or too close. The standard power off 180 starts abeam the runway numbers at pattern altitude, roughly 1,000 feet above the ground. If you're a quarter mile further out than you should be, you've just added a lot more ground to cover with no engine. You'll end up high on final with nowhere to go, and either overshoot or have to scramble. On the flip side, if you're inside the runway edge on downwind, you're going to have a compressed, steep approach with very little room to set up properly. Here's what I've noticed after years of teaching this. Students who have relied on power to fix their sloppy pattern position never develop the precision habit because the engine bails them out every time. Take the engine away, and suddenly the imprecise pattern becomes a real problem. The power off 180 is a useful diagnostic. It tells you immediately how disciplined your traffic pattern has actually been. The second mistake is not knowing your aircraft's best glide speed. Cold by heart. Not I think it's around 65. You need to know it without looking it up. In a Cessna 172 Skyhawk, that's 68 knots with no flaps. In a Piper Cherokee, it's around 80. In a Diamond DA20, it's closer to 78. Whatever you're flying, that number should be automatic. Because the moment the throttle comes back, your first task is to establish best glide speed and hold it. Why best glide? Because that speed gives you the greatest horizontal distance for every foot of altitude you lose. It preserves your options. It gives you the most time to make decisions. If you let the nose drop and the speed build while you're still processing what happened, you're burning altitude you can't get back. Third mistake, ignoring the wind. Wind changes everything on a power-off approach, and most students only think about wind on final. But wind affects where you are on downwind. It affects your base turn timing. It affects how much you drift on base. It absolutely affects where you touch down. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. A headwind on final is your friend, and a tailwind on base is a trap. Let's walk through this together. Say the wind is 15 knots from the south, and you're landing runway 18 on final. You have a headwind. You'll have a steeper glide slope, less ground speed and less float. That actually helps you land shorter, but on base leg, that same south wind is pushing you toward the runway. You'll cover the distance to the threshold faster than you expect. If you don't account for that, you'll turn final high and close, and the approach will be compressed. Conversely, landing north with a headwind from the north means a tailwind on base. You need to turn base earlier than normal, or the wind carries you past final before you're ready. Students who don't think about wind on base end up either scrambling to turn final or rolling out on final well below pattern altitude. Neither is where you want to be. The base to final transition is actually where a lot of check ride approaches unravel. Students fixate on the runway numbers, they lock onto that target and start making aggressive corrections to stay pointed at it, rather than flying a stable, coordinated turn to final. When you're fixated on the landing zone, you tend to overbank on the turn, and overbanking close to the ground is how pilots get into trouble. The maneuver does not require you to stare at the target through the turn. Fly the airplane through the turn. Pick up the target on final. Fourth mistake, and this one is very common on check rides, skipping the engine out checklist. I know, it's simulated. The engine isn't really dead. The examiner will intervene before anything unsafe happens, but the examiner wants to see that you treat this like a real emergency. That means the moment the power comes back, you run the items. Fuel on the fullest tank. Mixture rich, carburetor heat on if applicable, primer in and locked, ignition on both, throttle, confirm idle, restart attempt, and mentally acknowledge the radio call you would be making. You don't need to run through all of that out loud while you're flying a stabilized approach, but the examiner should see that it's on your scan. Some examiners ask about it afterward. Some ask you to brief it before the maneuver. Either way, treating the checklist as irrelevant because you know it's simulated is a mistake that tells the examiner something you don't want to tell them. Fifth mistake, adding flaps at the wrong time. Flaps are a tool. On a power-off approach, you want to hold off on flaps until you're confident you can make the runway. That typically means waiting until you're partway through base, or sometimes until you're established on final. Why hold off? Because flaps add drag. They increase your descent rate. Once you add flaps on a power-off approach, you've increased your energy burn. If you deploy them too early and realize you're going to come up short, you can't retract them and extend your glide the way you'd plan a powered approach. The sequence most examiners expect. No flaps until you know you have the runway made, then deploy incrementally based on what the approach looks like. If the target looks too close and low, hold the flaps and extend the glide. If the target looks too far and high, add flaps to steepen the descent without picking up airspeed. And that brings me to one of the best tools in a student's kit for this maneuver, the forward slip. A forward slip lets you increase your descent rate dramatically without adding airspeed. You put an opposite rudder and aileron into the slip. Rudder against it, and the nose yaws sideways, presenting more of the fuselage to the relative wind. The airplane comes down steeply. It's almost startling the first time you do it with real commitment. The problem is, most students don't practice slips enough during normal training. They're viewed as an emergency technique. So on the power-off 180, with the target coming up fast and the airplane still too high, the student freezes instead of slipping. The result is either a rushed, weak slip that doesn't lose enough altitude, or no slip at all and a touchdown 250 feet past the target. My advice, practice slips on normal approaches. Set yourself up high on final on purpose sometimes and slip it all the way down. Know what a full committed slip looks and feels like in your airplane. When you need it on a power-off approach, it should not be new. Let's talk about the visual reference you want to build on every power-off approach. When you're abeam the numbers and the throttle comes back, you want to establish a constant angle reference to the threshold. Here's the key. If the threshold appears to be moving up in your field of view, you're going to undershoot. If it's moving down, you're going to overshoot. If it appears stationary against a fixed reference point, a rivet line, the edge of the cowling, you're tracking toward it correctly. This is the same concept as a stable glide slope. A 3-degree approach keeps the threshold stationary. Too shallow and it drifts up. Too steep and it drops. Without power, you adjust with your base leg. A wider base buys more distance and altitude, and then with flaps on final and with a slip if you need it. But that visual reference is your guiding star. Stop scanning it, and you'll be surprised by where you end up. Now, check ride day specifically. The airman certification standards make this clear. The examiner evaluates your judgment as much as your precision. A student who touches down perfectly but blew through the checklist has a problem. A student who lands 190 feet past the target but demonstrated solid technique and sound decision making. That's a pass. Most examiners will brief the maneuver before you fly it. They'll tell you where the target is. Some pick a specific point. Some let you pick your own reference, know before you start which one it is. And if the approach is going badly, if you can see clearly that you're going to be dangerously short, do not freeze. Announce to the examiner that you're going around. Add power, climb out, and explain what you saw and why you made that call. A go-around on a power-off approach is rare, but recognizing an unsafe situation and responding to it is not a failure. Grinding in a short approach when you can see you won't make it cleanly, that is the failure. Examiners are not there to trick you. They want you to pass, but they need to see that you can manage this airplane when it's not at its best. One more thing, practice this maneuver throughout your training, not just in the final few flights before the check ride. I've seen too many students who spend 9 months doing power-on landings and then cram power-off approaches in the last 3 or 4 sessions. You cannot build judgment under that kind of pressure. Judgment comes from repetition. Ask your instructor to pull the power on downwind occasionally during normal practice. Try it at altitude first. Pick a landmark 3,000 feet below you. Simulate the approach profile, see where you'd end up. Build the picture before you need it in traffic with an examiner in the right seat. The power-off 180 is not a trick question. It's a fundamental skill that asks, do you understand your airplane well enough to land it without the engine? Every pilot should be able to say yes to that. The reference material here comes from the Federal Aviation Administration's Airplane Flying Handbook and the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards, both free, both worth opening before your next flight. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Stay ahead of the airplane.